In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
For drinks, cashews. Are you trying to get into your nipples care sticks? Good job you've got a nut allergy.
It's a good job I've got taste,
you mean? Yeah.
Which is more than going to be said for you. So much for being in love with Kevin.
No, you know the rules. They talk about boyfriends, exam results, or work until we're home.
You all right, Deb? Throat still bothering you?
Fine, I'm just really warmed. I'm joking, it's freezing. So I'm having a hot bath when I get in.
Debs?
Debbie,
what's the matter?
Debbie, your nose.
Blood dripples from Debbie's nose.
Debbie!
Debbie lies on the train station concourse, twitching, at the hospital.
We gave her 3 ampules of naloxone, no response. Convulsions, severe bleeding. 18 years old and she died of biventricular heart failure.
18 and she died of a heart attack? Well, that's young. What was it, coke?
Heroin.
Was she a regular user?
No, she was a swallower. That's her bag. We found 70 heroin-filled condoms in her stomach.
Did you say 70? 70?
She was pretty determined. Latex sticks in your throat. Gag reflex kicks in. You gag each one up 6-7 times before it stays down.
So the quantity killed her?
No. One of the condoms ruptured.
DS Matt Devlin pulls a sheet off Debbie's body and looks at her face. He glances at Dr. Julia Lamb.
What, this is our swallower?
Most of the swallowers you've had here are Africans, Jamaicans, people desperate to get into the UK.
Why would a young British girl risk smuggling drugs like this? It's too dangerous.
I don't know. Maybe the two girls that brought her in can tell us.
They did a runner while we tried to resuscitate her. Excuse me.
Good mates, then. You reckon they were mules as well?
Don't know. Thailand.
I've been back a stick of rock from my holidays.
Same age as my Sarah.
So what? About 2 kilos? Street value back here, about 100 grand. Thailand cost 4 or 5.
Well, it cost Debbie Powell a lot more than that.
DS Ronnie Brooks, wearing latex gloves, covers Debbie's body with the sheet. The sprawling city of London. Law. 40-something with brown hair, Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks. 30-ish Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Delvin. Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler. Order. Ben Daniels as James Steele and Freema Agyeman as Alicia Phillips. And Bill Patterson as George Castle. Law and Order UK original series created by Dick Wolfe. This episode, Love and Loss. Ronnie and Matt stand on a doorstep. A young girl answers.
Hello, sweetheart.
Tire, Susan, I've got it.
Come on, not too early, Jack.
Mark Powell. I'm DS Matt Devlin.
No, I'm Jack Gilmore. Mark's inside.
Susan watches as Mark attaches a banner which reads, Congratulations.
Who's that?
I'm up on your side of it. How'd you get to be foreman again?
Jack leads the detectives through into the living room. Mark stands on a chair as he struggles to hang up the banner.
Mr. and Mrs. Powell, I'm Detective Sergeant Matt Devlin. This is DS Ronnie Brooks. It's about Debbie.
No.
Susan's brow furrows as she stares at Matt.
Don't you tell me. Get out. Get out!
Susan passes pink and white balloons as she rushes out of the room. In the back garden.
I don't understand. How can Debbie be mixed up with heroin?
We need to ring people. We should make a list. It's your mum and dad, my sister. She'll want to come down. She'll need to book flights.
We'd like to take a look at Debbie's laptop, check her emails.
Oh, my God, Amy. She should be at school.
For God's sake, Susan, her sister's died! Debbie's dead! It's OK, I'll sit with her. I'll put a DVD on for her.
We're going to need to talk to Debbie's friends, Mr. Powell, the ones she went on holiday with.
Jack leads Amy inside.
Kirsty Wallace and Sophie Martin.
Well, they're not involved.
They ran away.
They've been friends since the first day of school.
They left Debbie to die alone.
We're going to need Kirsty and Sophie's addresses, please, Mr. Powell.
Oh,
Sorry, I wouldn't know where to find them.
I'll get them.
I work in Dubai most of the year.
Excuse me.
Ronnie follows Susan into the house.
She runs the kids everywhere.
Susan's perched on a bed in a small, cluttered room. Posters cover the white walls. She glances up at Ronnie.
Sorry. You want those girls' addresses? And not laptops there?
Don't worry, that can wait.
He smiles as he wanders into the room and sits down opposite her.
I'll let her decorate it. Mark thinks I'll spoil it, but he's not here half the time.
I think it looks very nice.
We do everything together. Gym, shopping.
You notice any changes in her recently?
No. Yeah, there was something, but I don't know what it was. This is the first year she didn't come on holiday with us. She said she wanted to grow up. I had to beg Mark to let her go.
Mrs. Powell, this isn't your fault.
I suppose you must get used to doing this.
No.
I'll get you those addresses.
MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, WC2, Tuesday, 29th of September.
Searched my house. There were no drugs there.
Well, you knew we'd find you sooner or later, Sophie. What do? Pass them on to the person you were smuggling for? Dump them?
Got nothing to do with any drugs. Why would I? I want to be a lawyer. I can't do that if I've got a criminal record.
Then why did you run from the hospital?
I was scared. One minute we were talking, laughing, and the next, Debbie was... I've never seen somebody die before.
Sophie, either you ran because you had drugs on you or because you knew what Debbie was doing.
I didn't. I swear I didn't. Look, she was my friend.
Your friend prepped for this, Sophie. She'd probably been swallowing chunks of raw food for weeks beforehand because she had to widen her esophagus for this. She'd been taking relaxants to help her swallow them down without gagging. She dipped them in honey. She cut her throat raw, swallowing 70 of these. She knew what she was doing.
DI Natalie Chandler offers Sophie a packet of tissues. Sophie takes one. Matt's face softens as he watches pretty brunette Sophie blow her nose.
I didn't know until the hospital. Debbie phoned her mum and dad from Heathrow, urged them that she was staying at my place. She was going to go to a B&B and she was going to meet a boyfriend there.
Boyfriend? She had a boyfriend?
She kept him secret. Debbie was good at keeping secrets.
Natalie sinks back into her chair as she watches Sophie.
I told you, I never met her boyfriend. None of us had.
Come off it, Kirsty. Friends as close as you lot, never met him, never talked about him, never swapped stories about him. The condoms Debbie used to swallow those drugs were bought in London. Did her boyfriend ask her to smuggle those drugs?
I don't know anything. I haven't done anything wrong.
Are you scared of him? Is that what's going on here?
Tears glisten in Kirsty's eyes.
Kirsty, the CPS will prosecute you for conspiracy to import drugs.
So charge me or release me.
Ronnie smiles as he puts on his glasses.
Kirsty.
What? Going to show me pictures of her dead body? Try and scare me into talking?
We found these photographs on Debbie's camera.
Snapshots of Kirsty and Sophie smiling in front of temples.
Can you tell me what's missing?
Kirsty looks down.
Debs.
Yeah. And there's the three of you having a great time.
A photo of the girls posing behind a tiger.
Kirsty. Kirsty. You're not protecting Debbie. You're protecting the person who talked her into this. Okay? And he told Debbie that he loved her.
Now.
Ronnie puts photographs of Debbie lying in the mortuary down on the table. Kirsty's jaw drops open as she looks at them.
Does that look like love to you?
Kirsty's face crumples as she looks down.
You know what we do here, Kirsty? We speak for the dead. And we speak for the loved ones left behind. Tell us who Debbie's boyfriend was.
In a corridor.
Debbie told Kirsty that the boyfriend had given her an address of a hotel in Bangkok. When she arrived, there was a room in her name.
Yes, yeah, this MO in the book. She checks in, the drugs are on the bed, she swallows them, stashes the cash in a drawer and then leaves.
Kirsty also mentioned that Debbie was very scared that if she didn't go through with this, the boyfriend would dump her.
Right. She thought that was love. He was manipulating her from the start.
If a bloke had done that on one of my girls...
Go. Angela pulled these off Debbie's laptop. It's a bunch of emails, Facebook messages. Anyway, there's dates and times where she meets up with the owner of this account.
Buff Guy 41.
His other name is Andy Valenta. He's a teacher at Debbie's school.
Bring him in.
I'm a teacher. Debbie was in one of my classes, that's all.
Really? How many students do you meet on Sundays, Mr. Valenti?
I'm teaching... I was teaching her to drive.
Well, I've heard it called a lot of things. But never that.
She failed a driving test twice. Her dad's not about much. I offered to help.
Look, just tell me why Kirsty would think that Debbie was sleeping with her teacher.
You know what kids are like. If they're not making stuff up about each other, they make it up about their teachers.
Debbie used to make stuff up as well, did she?
No. Debbie was different. She didn't judge anyone. Everybody felt comfortable around her.
So you were helping her out the goodness of your heart?
I wasn't sleeping with her, if that's what you're getting at. I'm gay. Debbie saw me with my boyfriend. Never told a soul.
Matt stands and looks across the interview room at Andy.
Why would you need to hide something like that?
I don't. As a teacher, you learn to keep your private life private. Debbie understood that.
Okay. What about Debbie's private life? Did she ever mention or talk to you about a boyfriend?
She never told me her name. But I think she was sleeping with somebody at work.
Gilmore Telecoms Limited, Battersea, SW11, Wednesday, 30th September.
Debbie worked here weekends. I've got 3 stores spread across Southeast London.
How long you had the business up and running?
About 4 years.
You never heard a rumour that Debbie was sleeping with a member of your staff?
Yeah, you know, it's hard enough keeping the wolf from the door without obviously my employees' personal lives.
Even when they're sleeping with your mate's daughter?
One of my techies, he put it about that he'd slept with her, that she was a slag. I checked it out. It's just a rumour.
Well, you wouldn't be the first employer that staff lied to.
No, I checked it with Debbie.
You didn't tell Mark Powell?
Oh, come on. Hey, Mark, one of the guys at work's calling your daughter a slag. He'd be down here in a second looking for blood. You know something? I wouldn't blame him.
We'll need to talk to your technicians.
Well, they work out of my warehouse. Address is on the back.
That's fine.
Thanks
for your help. One of the technicians, a fella called Jerry Craig, didn't show up for work today or yesterday. And the line manager says he didn't call in either.
Maybe he's sick.
And maybe he's in it up to his eyeballs. He meets Debbie, seduces her, gives her 4 or 5 grand, expecting, what, 90, 100 grand profit back? Tell you what, mate, we're in the wrong game.
It's not a game, Matt. This girl lost her life for the sake of a few quid. Let's go and see this Jerry Craig.
Tower Rise, Highbury.
I've had complaints about Jerry Craig before. People calling in all hours, dodgy sorts hanging about. As everyone knew, he was a dealer.
So how come you never called us?
Well, I used to, but you guys come around, nick a dealer, and another one moves in. And at least Craig was only selling, what, weed and a bit of coke?
Only.
Well, the last one you lot nicked was selling acid to school kids.
So what are Uniform doing here then?
Burglary on the 2nd floor. See, Craig's flat's on the 15th.
Well, please tell me your lift ain't broken.
My mum told me, never lie to a copper.
Well, it looks like he left in a hurry.
Nah, place always looks like this.
Set of scales in the bedroom, signs of drug use. Coke, cannabis. So
So when did you last see him then?
Well, last night. He said he was heading off for a bit.
Yeah.
Trying to tap me for 100 quid. Cheeky bugger. He still owes 3 months' rent.
Don't look like he pays his bills either. Right then. Do you have many friends?
Nah, he's the sort of guy even his mother couldn't love.
She ever come round?
Every Friday. Always wondered what a nice girl like that was doing with Craig. You could set your watch by her, you could.
What was Debbie doing in a dump like this?
Looks like Craig knows we're onto him.
Yeah, well, he's trying to tap up the caretaker, which failed. So he's obviously broken and desperate. And what's the first thing you need when you do a bunk?
Cash. And you do know that no one does a bunk anymore. You're going to have to update your lingo, Sunshine. So Craig's on his toes. Where does he get his cash from? Burglary.
Second floor.
Second floor.
MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street, WC2.
A tenant had his credit card stolen.
For the cash, first thing you need when you do a bunk.
Told ya.
Ronnie looks triumphant.
Jerry Craig's got form. For burglary, credit card theft and dealing from Intel. List of his friends and associates.
Actually, yeah, I do mind waiting. Thank you very much. And the next time you ring 999, we'll keep you waiting. What about that?
He's got his goat.
Oh, Debbie Powell's the same age as Ronnie's youngest. I don't know, you lot have kids. Worry alone would do my head in.
The love outweighs the worry.
If you say so. Well, of course I'm still here, although I do have a pressing appointment to put pins in my eyes. Thank you very much. Cheers. OK, cashback. Tesco's Dulwich. Guy matching Jerry Craig's description.
One of Craig's mates lives in Dulwich. Game on.
See, this is why I did a runner for my flat. I knew you lot would put two and two together and come up with five.
You ran because you have form.
Yeah, it's for dealing, not smuggling.
Ronnie watches as Matt cuffs Jerry at the station.
Look, lads, I don't want to go back to prison, do I? You're going about it in all the wrong ways, Jerry.
I told you, I'm not her boyfriend and I don't know who she was shagging. She wouldn't say.
Chewing gum, Jerry looks calmly away.
All I know is he bought her driving lessons as a gift.
You mean the boyfriend bought her driving lessons or the boyfriend was teaching her to drive?
What difference does that make?
Jerry cocks his head back and looks up at the ceiling.
Lessons, I think.
He bought her lessons.
Yes, I remember her now, Miss Powell. She took a series of one-hour lessons at the end of July. Jeffrey! Slow down!
A guy runs between cones.
Did he leave his car at home?
He's crashed 28 times. I want to know his hand-eye and foot coordination has improved before I get back in a vehicle with him.
Debbie Powell?
Yes. We usually pick up at the client's house, but she was insistent on coming out here.
Did she come out here alone?
As far as I know, yeah.
Intensive care driving school.
It's good, isn't it? My husband came up with it.
Intensive care?
Yes. We're intensive and we care.
So how did Debbie pay for her lessons?
Cash. Would you excuse me?
The woman walks over to Jeffrey, who mimes reversing through a series of cones.
Do me a favour, mate, eh? Next time we pass a brick wall, bang my head into it for me, save time, eh? Right. What's up?
There's no tube station or bus stop for miles. Middle of nowhere. So she's not allowed to drive on her own. How did she get out here?
MIU Central Headquarters, Bow Street.
7 CCTV sightings of Debbie at intensive care. Who names their driving school?
Leave it, Ange.
Most of them are routine. Debbie turns up, Debbie leaves. Got interested in with this one, though.
CCTV footage.
That's Jack Gilmore.
Family friend. Well, it could be a casual dropping off after work.
Nothing casual about this.
Hang on, Gilmore's the boyfriend. But he denied knowing who Debbie was seeing or who she was sleeping with. What's that all about?
He's old enough to be a father.
Hold on, a kiss doesn't prove he's a dealer.
But it is enough to bring him in, Angelina. Lunch is on me. Well done, love.
You just get better and better, Ange.
Matt kisses Ange on the cheek. She beams as she busies herself with the computer. In a graveyard, Matt and Ronnie watch a group of mourners.
Everyone else has gone back to the church hall. You want to wait? Nick him there?
No, let's get it over with. Mr. Gilmore, we'd like you to come with us.
What?
We'd like to ask you some questions.
You're arresting me?
How public would you like to make this, sir?
What's going on?
It's about one of Mr. Gilmore's employees.
Have you got him? Have you got the bastard who did this?
When we know for certain, we'll give you a call.
I'll see you back at the church hall, okay?
Jack walks away with the detectives.
I'm arresting you on suspicion of the importation of heroin. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something you later rely on equally.
In an interview room.
I loved Debbie. Why the hell would I get her to smuggle drugs?
Why did you lie to us, Mr. Gilmore? Why did you pretend that you weren't sleeping with Debbie?
I didn't want Mark to know. Okay, I knew how hurt he and Susan would be. And we both thought that some people might think that what we were doing was wrong.
Drug smuggling.
Being in love. That's not a crime, is it?
Mr. Gilmore, who's your contact in Thailand? Who arranged the drugs for Debbie to collect?
You're not listening. But why would I risk losing the one person that I love the most? I don't know who got her to do this, but it wasn't me.
Mr. Gilmore, forensics found some unopened condoms in your car. They were the same type that Debbie packed with heroin and swallowed. Actually from the same batch, bought from the same branch.
Jack's eyes dart around the room. Matt stands up.
Jack Gilmore, we're going to charge you with the importation of heroin.
Office of George Castle, Crown Prosecution.
Well, we go for importation, fine. But I still don't understand why you won't pursue Gilmore for manslaughter, gross negligence.
Under any other circumstances, I would, but I don't want to put Debbie's parents through a mudslinging trial when importation carries the same sentencing parameters.
Presuming we could get the maximum for importation.
I say her parents will endure a few slanders in their daughter's character so long as Gilmore is punished to the full.
But we don't have the key witness that connects Gilmore's actions to Debbie's death.
I could see if he's tried this before, get evidence of a pattern.
Even if you did turn up a previous drugs mule, it's not a clear enough link to manslaughter because... unless... we can establish duty of care.
Go on.
Well, Gilmore was her employer, her lover, and a family friend.
Can't get much more responsible than that.
The Old Bailey walls, James. The welfare of the people is the supreme law, and Debbie Powell's welfare was destroyed by Jack Gilmore.
All right. If you can find a witness, and if the family agree, we go for both charges.
Better get to work, then.
The foreseeability of damage or danger to Debbie Powell should be fairly straightforward to prove.
Well, if it was harmless, Gilmore would have imported the drugs himself.
We might just have enough to get George's manslaughter charge home.
Hold the door! For God's sake!
Open the windows, tie down anything that moves.
Oh, God. That smell, I think... I'm going to be sick. That disinfectant, 7 years and they're still using it.
Jason, I thought you only did meetings via video conference.
My therapist said I had to experience the joys of the world. Joys of the world. Have you been on public transport recently?
Alicia Phillips, Jason Peters.
Ah! Oh, Jason! Oh. I'm sorry, James.
You used to work here?
Many moons ago. No, I'd rather not. I'll be here all day. You've done well for yourself, James. The place would have driven me mad. Now, Jack Gilmore, you've no witnesses, the forensics are laughable, and your evidence is supposition, innuendo, and hypothesis. It's a hopeless case. Even I couldn't win it. Drop the charges.
Debbie Powell died of a massive coronary. She was 18. Jack Gilmore was responsible.
I've always liked you, James, and I'll take no pleasure in defeating you. Well, not much. But I'll see you in court.
Jason, wearing a duffel coat and rucksack, rubs his hands vigorously with hand sanitizer.
He's never lost a case.
Alicia's face falls. James sits down at his desk.
Start with Gilmore's current employees, then work backwards. I don't believe Debbie Powell was his first drugs mule.
Rosemary's Cafe, Vauxhall, SW8, Wednesday, 21st of October. Alicia's with a blonde woman.
Gilmore's a name I'd rather forget. I worked for him 3 years ago. It says on your record you were sacked for drug use.
My mum died. I got into drugs.
I'm clean now.
And 2 years ago, while you worked for Gilmore, you applied for a passport, booked a trip to Thailand.
Well, that's not a crime, is it?
No. But bringing illegal substances into this country is.
Check your records. I never got there.
Is that the real reason he sacked you? Because you changed your mind about importing the drugs? Gemma, Gilmore's latest conquest died. One of the capsules she swallowed burst. She was 18. I have my own family now. I've got a kid. Then you'll know what Debbie's mother must be going through.
Yeah.
Give evidence against him, please.
I will if Jerry does.
Jerry Craig? He didn't work for Gilmore till after you left.
Maybe not on the books, but Jerry was the middleman. He had the contact in Thailand.
Gemma is a cokehead. I'm surprised she can remember her own name. We know you put the deal together, Jerry.
We're not interested in you, Jerry. Just give us Gilmore, and you can go back and crawl under the rock where you came from.
Do you know how easy it is to get drugs in Thailand?
She was a very enterprising girl, Debbie.
She could have got them anywhere.
Intent to supply, importation, conspiracy, perverting the course of justice.
You'll go on all day if you're not careful.
I don't know anything. Right. Do you know what? I've had enough of this. Why don't you charge him with that little lot, Matty?
Matt takes a seat opposite Jerry.
If I talk, what happens to me?
Jerry, tell us what we want to know about Jack Gilmore. Or we'll settle for you. Do you understand? Jerry. Do you understand?
Interview terminated at 10:26.
Okay.
Ronnie sits down. Jerry, wearing a black shirt open at the collar, looks down before meeting Matt's gaze.
A few years back, I did some debt collecting for Gilmore.
Alicia, watching the interview on a monitor, brings her hand to her face.
And he came to me with a proposition to earn some quick cash.
Jerry Craig's prepared to give evidence that he gave Gilmore the drugs contact and that it was Gilmore's plan all along.
Good work. So can we make it home in both importation and the manslaughter charges?
Well, the importation charge is pretty straightforward. Manslaughter's more of a risk.
I don't care. I want to go after him for both. Mark and Susan need to know that Gilmore's been held responsible for Debbie's death.
Good, I'm with you. Put Gilmore in the dock.
Crown v. Gilmore, trial day 3, Wednesday, 4th November. James strides into a cafeteria.
How are you bearing up?
I feel better when Gilmore's in prison.
We all will.
We've got a pretty strong case, but there's a long way to go.
Promise me you won't get away with this.
The liaison officer will show you where to sit.
Mark,
don't talk to me.
It's just a terrible mistake.
You're a paedophile, you hear me? A paedophile.
She was 18. At least I was there for her. You
Jackson,
never were.
Can you get your
never there for any of you. I'll kill you!
No, that's enough.
That was a threat from your client, James.
Oh, just get out! Mark, you have to calm down. Attacking Gilmore is not going to help your family.
He took away our daughter.
Yeah, and we're going to hold him responsible for that in court.
Debbie told me he said he was in love with her. We took the piss... We took the mickey out of her on holiday. She was always on Facebook, leaving messages on his wall.
And what about Debbie?
She was totally in love with him.
Exhibit 8 to 29, my lord. Facebook correspondence between the deceased and the accused. Paragraph 3C is where Mr. Gilmore clearly says how much Debbie means to him.
Jack stares straight ahead.
Thank you. No further questions.
Kirsty, the messages between my client and Debbie never explicitly mention drugs, do they?
Of course. He's going to use a code, isn't he? He's not stupid.
Was my client in Thailand when Debbie chose to swallow these drugs?
No, but...
Jason takes off his wig and rubs his head.
Mr. Peters, have you forgotten where you are?
Jason.
I'm sorry, my lord. It was an itch.
So, at any time, Miss Powell could have chosen to walk away and not break the law.
She did it because he asked her.
I knew Debbie was going to smuggle heroin. We talked about it when she came over to my place.
And who was Debbie smuggling the drugs for?
I don't know.
That's not what you said in your statement.
Yeah, well, I only said that because the police threatened me. physically.
James looks stunned as he scans the courtroom. Reporters take notes.
I've seen the police recording, Mr. Craig. No such threats were made against your person.
Of course they're not going to threaten me in the interview. They're not stupid.
My lord, the Crown's case is built around Mr. Craig's evidence.
This witness's evidence clearly contradicts a sworn statement, my
Which
lord.
Which Mr. Craig made while clearly under duress.
You weren't sat in the back of the police car
Mr.
when
Craig
they threatened me.
Mr. Craig told the police on tape that Jack Gilmore was behind this. The accused has clearly interfered with the course of justice, my
they
lord.
They told me to say it was Gilmore in the interview. So I did.
Bearded Jason touches his wig as James stares open-mouthed across the courtroom at him. James strides towards his locker, pulling off his robes.
I can't believe that judge took 5 minutes to send the jury and Craig out. Did you know he was going to change his story?
James, we're friends. Cheap theatrical tricks aren't my style.
Your client must have bribed my witness to perjure himself.
We really should both rise above this. Sadly for you, Craig has changed his story, and now we're sort of done.
I'm not done. Gilmore did it. I can still get him convicted.
Marvelous, James. Can't wait to see it. Good luck with him.
For God's sake, your wig is straight, Jason.
Thank God. Now I can go home.
Jason pulls off his wig.
I really am sorry about this, James. But even I couldn't win this case now.
Rubbing his hands with sanitizer, he closes his locker with his elbow and goes. The Crown v. Gilmore trial.
Mr. Gilmore, can you confirm for the court the man in this CCTV footage is indeed you?
Yes, that's me.
The young woman in that clip, Debbie Powell, how old was she?
She was 18.
18. Old enough to vote, to fall in love, to drink, have sex, not a child. Did you give her money to buy those drugs?
No.
Did you know what Debbie was planning when she went to Thailand?
If I'd have known, I wouldn't have let her go.
How did you feel when you heard about Debbie's death, Mr. Gilmore?
Heartbroken.
Mark, sitting next to Susan, drops his head. Jason pumps out some sanitizer and rubs his hands together.
No further questions.
Jason takes a seat next to James and Alicia. Mark closes his eyes as he raises his head. James stands, his brow furrowed. He looks at Jack.
70 heroin-packed condoms were found in Debbie's stomach. Condoms which matched those police found at your property. Isn't that right, Mr. Gilmore?
They were found in my car. Debbie must have seen them there and taken them.
You're claiming an 18-year-old girl arranged all this by herself.
I wish to God she hadn't. But it looks that way.
You're a salesman, aren't you, Mr. Gilmore?
I own several shops.
Do you think you sold your story to the jury today?
My lord...
I'm telling the truth. I miss Debbie more than anyone.
In the cafeteria, Mark and Susan sit at a table with James.
The judge spent more time summing up the defense than he did our case.
It's just the way it is. He has to explain all the implications for the jury, otherwise Gilmore could appeal if he's convicted.
The jury's back.
Already?
Well, that's a good sign, isn't it? I mean, quick is better. It means they know he's guilty.
Why don't you two go in? We'll follow on.
Alicia leads Susan out of the cafeteria. Susan turns and shoots an anxious look at her husband. James turns to Mark.
I need you to be strong now, Mark. For your family.
He's right. I was never there for him. What kind of a father am I?
Whatever the jury says, don't let him win.
Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict upon which you are all agreed?
Yes.
On the first count of manslaughter, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Jack stares straight ahead.
Not guilty.
On count two, that the defendant was knowingly concerned in the importation of 2 kilograms of heroin with intent to supply, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Jack beams from his place in the dock. Susan's face crumples as she slumps into her husband's arms. James turns to Debbie's parents. Hampstead Heath, NW3, Monday, 9th of November. James, Mark and Amy walk through the trees.
We're not giving up. Alicia and I have turned harder cases than this around.
Yeah, it won't bring Debbie back, will it?
Amy runs off. Mark looks at James.
It's okay, we don't blame you.
I know.
I used to bring Debbie here when she was Amy's age, just before I used to fly back to Dubai. We used to play hide and seek.
This isn't over, Mark. Don't give up.
I don't see what else you can do. Amy, be careful, darling.
James leans on a filing cabinet in a storage room and looks at Ronnie, who's holding a file.
I feel like we've let Debbie's parents down. I promised them we'd get Gilmore. We haven't.
Well, sometimes, James, that's the way it goes. You know, Jack Gilmore's probably one of these guys that can wriggle away from anything. You did the best you could, mate.
Yeah, but it's not enough, Ronnie. There has to be something else.
Well, like what? Jerry Craig is going to stick to his guns, isn't he? I mean, he's not going to change his story.
Did you try to talk Gemma McCann out of withdrawing her statement?
Well, of course we did. But don't forget, she's a young, scared single mum. I mean, she's not going to start talking now Jerry Craig's changed his tune, is she?
OK, so there's no new evidence, no chance of a retrial.
And if Jack Gilmore had used one of my girls like that, I would really want to get him back the best way I could, no matter what it cost or what it took. I'd find out what matters to that lad, and I would take it away from him.
Gilmore, he's not going to be threatened, Ronnie. You need to care about something, anything, to risk not losing it. And the only thing Gilmore cares about is himself and his businesses.
Well, other than getting every single person in London to picket or boycott his shops and put him out of business, I don't see what else you can do.
James bursts into George Castle's office. George is slumped in his red leather armchair.
Capone. We drew a Capone on him.
Jesus, Jim. He nearly gave me a heart attack there.
Alicia?
You've been drinking.
What is going on?
What was the name of that goth girl last year?
Last year?
You know, the Jones case. Chris Beater, number muncher, the tax woman.
Sometimes think I'm the only sane person who works in here.
Una McGladdery. She's an expert witness, works at the tax office.
See you, George. Nice as pie, butter wouldn't melt, but a Rottweiler on a paper trail. We go after Gilmore's tax records. Income tax, VAT, everything. Every sale, every transaction, every piece of paper that went through his shops. We go through it all.
The Capone approach.
Oh, that is brilliant. I'll get in his number.
You better check that over the revenue and customs.
We're going to get him, George. Maybe not drugs, maybe not manslaughter, but we're going to get Jack Gilmore for something.
It's finally happened. You become Elliot Ness.
Central London Revenue Office.
Fantastic. This is the reason I joined. All I want is mountains of paperwork.
Una McGladdery strides down a corridor.
So, what should we be looking for? You don't look for anything. Be the paper, become the numbers. First rule of tax forms, everybody lies. Second rule of tax forms, everybody gets found out eventually, usually by me.
What do you need?
Guns. Lots of guns. Only joking. More floor space. Three current businesses, several failed ventures. This guy's been in business since 1994. Started filing his online returns in 2005. I can handle those. Pre that, it's paper, and you need a lot more floor space.
Consider it done.
Let's get to work.
Una holds up a couple of staple guns.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 4:30. It's Friday. I imagine you've all got families you're anxious to get home to, so I look forward to seeing you first thing Monday morning, and have a lovely week here.
Thank you, George.
And the bridge is yours.
George smiles before leaving. James and Alicia watch him go. Alicia and James go through piles of files. A split screen shows Alicia looking through stacks of paper and Una eating hula hoop crisps. Una watches a couple of monitors as she munches on the crisps. Alicia and James make piles on the corridor floor of files and paperwork. Alicia looks over James's shoulder at a couple of files. George, wearing a tuxedo, walks into the office carrying a couple of pizza boxes and some takeaway drinks.
It's only the Home Secretary.
George takes off his jacket and picks up some papers off the floor.
You've been a good girl for your Nana.
Yuna talks into her mobile.
I miss you too, sweetie. Yes, as soon as Mommy finds the bad numbers.
Paperwork is strewn all over the office as George walks in.
Coffee? I'll take that as a yes, then. You know, I haven't had so much fun since I was up all night prepping Jagger.
Alicia looks across at James and smiles. George walks out. James rubs his eyes.
Ethan's down. This weekend he wants to go skating. I've no idea where to take him.
I used to go to the Soville Centre near Holloway.
You can skate?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing Saturday afternoon?
Watching you fall flat on your arse.
James smiles. Office of James Steele, Crown Prosecution Service, City of London, EC4, Saturday, 21st November.
Everything since 2005 is clean as a whistle. How far have you got?
1998. Clean as well.
I bet you two were the biggest swats in your class. Right, well, we'll fly through this now. George, can you sort this out for me?
Yeah, no problem. Access to the accounts of his parents, sisters, and his wife.
Sorry, his what? Wife. Family members are often used as black economy cover.
He hasn't got a wife, has he?
Well, she's director of all his companies and pockets about 200k a year.
Why didn't we know about his wife?
Francis Arrow, married 1991 to 93, divorced, but is still his business partner.
Has Francis Arrow paid her income tax?
Her last tax return was in 1994.
It's a bit hard to pay your income tax when you're dead.
Alicia looks up from a piece of paper.
She died in 1994.
200 grand a year. 15 years. We've got him.
Crown v. Gilmore, fraud trial, day 8.
On count one, namely that the defendant dishonestly failed to disclose a liability to pay income tax in the sum of £2,412,869 with intent to make a gain for himself, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Alicia glances at James, who smiles. A pale-faced Jack sinks down into his seat. Susan rubs Mark's shoulder. He turns to his wife. Jason readjusts his wig and stares stony-faced. James slowly pushes open a door into the courthouse. Mark stands alone in the courthouse, staring straight ahead. James walks up to Mark, his brow furrowed.
2 years, is that it? This might not be the justice Debbie deserves. But Gilmore's life, as he knows it, is over.
Kind of justice. Thank you.
They shake hands. James watches as Mark leaves. James turns to the empty courtroom. Folders and papers sit on the wooden benches. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC audio description.
There's something big going on here, and your mate Jimmy knows all about it.
I've made mistakes, and I've put them right. When do I get forgiven?
Jimmy Valentine always seems to be around whenever something funny happens.
I'm not going behind your back.
Jimmy is a good cop. I'm not with you on this one.
He pulled a bloody gun on me!
This is my fault.
Valentine is a disgrace to the service, but there are other considerations to bear in mind.
This is bad enough without you making it into a conspiracy.
You've been given a task. Do your job.
Do we have an agreement?
You have no case.
Ronnie!